T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jim Callis, senior writer for MLBPipeline.com, joining us. You can follow him on Twitter, at Jim Callis, MLB. And, Jim, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
We're doing well. Amidst all of the discussion of Major League Baseball, at least we get to talk a little bit about the future, what some of the future prospects may hold. When you look at Major League Baseball, the minor league system right now, once we get back to playing, there's going to be some things that we're going to be watching. Some of these new guys coming into the system. Obviously, the Brewers, they have their hopes pinned on a few guys, whether it's coming up or whether it's guys that they can trade. Give me your just overall thought process right now when it comes to the level of the Milwaukee Brewers system and what it is they have.
Well, fans may not want to hear this. We ranked them as the worst farm system in baseball going into the year. They've thinned it out. They've used a farm system like you're supposed to use it. They've promoted a bunch of guys. They've traded a bunch of guys, and it's not as strong as it used to be. But I would say their farm system is definitely in the rebuilding phase. There aren't a bunch of guys who appear ready to make a significant impact in the next year or two. But they do like some of the younger guys, like their recent first-round picks like Bryce Strang and Ethan Small. And, Maria Feliciano is a guy who had a good year last year in high class A. I mean, they have some interesting guys, but it can take some time.
The recent draft, the Milwaukee Brewers picked up a couple of guys that, have some thought, have some hope. One guy obviously has a diabetic issue, but it didn't seem to be somewhat of a problem. So rank their draft and how they actually did. Now, this is something that I don't normally get into a ton because sometimes you don't even hear these names. They just fall by the wayside, or the only time you hear of them is when they're trading them away, trying to go for it right now. But where did the Brewers fall when it came to the Major League Baseball draft?
I think they did okay. I mean, it's kind of a tough question because, at this point, it's very early, and the teams are going to stand out the most are the teams that had picks at the top of the draft, which the Brewers did not, and the teams that had extra picks, which the Brewers did not. So that puts them behind a lot of teams. But I did think with their first-round pick, Garrett Mitchell, I think that's a tremendous value to get with the 20th overall pick in the first round. I think you can make an argument that he had the best all-around tools of any college player in the draft. We ranked him as the sixth best player in the draft. Admittedly, and teams struggled with this too, is like, how much do you factor in the diabetes? It hasn't held him back, but he's been playing 60-game seasons at UCLA, not 160-game seasons. I think the only position player that had a lengthy career as a type 1 diabetic was Ron Santos, so there's not a lot of history. Sam Fuld did, but he wasn't really an everyday player. The other question I think with Mitchell in terms of his tools is he's got raw power, but he hit 6 home runs in 2-plus years at UCLA, so it hasn't really translated. So when you put him under a microscope, you nitpick on that a little bit. But, you're talking about a guy who's a well-above-average runner, chance to be a well-above-average defender in center field. He can really hit. He can really throw. I think he should have at least average power. It's a really exciting package, and to get that at number 20, I think is a great value in this draft. It was one of the best values in the first round.
That was going to be my next question, because many people seem to think that had he not had diabetes, that he would have actually gone much higher, but there were some teams that were questioning that. Then you go past him and you look at Freddie Zamora and Xavier Warren and Joey Weimer. But as you go down, it seemed like because they ended up going after guys that were basically college players as opposed to with the shortened draft, rather than the project players being the high schoolers. So is there a benefit to looking more towards the colleges now? Do you feel that they're more refined and can climb through the system quicker because you don't have that kind of time? You're really not going to dip into the high schools too often.
No, I mean, some other teams went, who did dip. I mean, the amount of high school players drafted was about the same. I mean, you know, maybe the Brewers got more conservative here. To me, I'd always take, you know, whoever you think the best player is, you know, and have confidence in your ability to develop them. I mean, they took college players, but it's interesting because all the guys they took behind Mitchell have some upside, and they also have major question marks. I mean, Zamora is a guy who has a chance to be a plus defender at shortstop. You know, he's been a stolen base guy in the past. Not a huge track record of hitting, and he got suspended for violating team rules. And there's makeup questions, and he hurt his knee. So there's, I mean, that could go either way. Xavier Warren's a real interesting guy. He's a bat over power guy. Not really a position. You know, he might be able to catch. He might not. You know, he hasn't done it a lot. He played in high school. Played a little bit at Central Michigan. He's not really shortstop, which was his main position in college. He's not quick enough to play there. He can maybe fit at third, but is he going to have the power there? So a lot of questions there. You know, Joey Weimer, who they got out of Cincinnati, real interesting athlete. Like, he can – it's plus raw power. It's plus speed. He's up to 98 on the mound. He hit 264 in college. He slugged 354 wood bats in the Cape Cod League. So it's great tools and zero track record of doing anything at the plate. So, again – he could go either way. And then Hayden Cantrell, who was our last pick, might wind up being the best of all these guys. I thought Cantrell was going to be a second-round pick coming into the year. He was one of a handful of players who had 25 extra base hits and 25 steals a year ago. Switch hitter. He's got some sneaky power. He can run. He's probably an average shortstop by big league measures, you know, maybe more of a second baseman, really good Cape Cod League. And he came out and had a bad spring. I mean, it was only 4 weeks, so it's a real small sample size. I wouldn't read too much into that. But he hit 148, and that kind of torpedoed his draft stock a little bit. But, you know, he might be the best of all those guys. So it's, yeah, they did go college, and there's less projection involved. But all these guys, I think all four of those guys, there's kind of questions as exactly, you know, how much are they going to hit, where are they going to fit. You know, interesting guys, but not slam dunk guys by any means.
I wanted to ask you, because I had somebody just tweet me and say, how do you come up with the rankings? What, when you look at the players in a farm system, do you just look at their statistics as they progress through the farm system or where they were drafted? I mean, so explain to people that are listening how you come up with the rankings of farm systems.
Yeah, and look, and I will admit that's probably the most difficult thing we do, because it's very subjective, and you're basically ranking the future impact of about 200-plus players in the minor leagues. And I always joke – like, well, one thing that's not a joke is nothing gets people more fired up, any rankings we do, like when I say people, I mean people in baseball, than farm system rankings. And my joke always is that one team thinks we got the rankings exactly right, and 29 other teams think we have their farm system ranked too low because everybody loves their prospects. But you're looking at the short answer is the long-term impact of the players in that system. And you're basing that on performance, you're basing that on tools, you're basing that on scouting reports, you know, not just within the organization, because everybody loves their own prospects. We get a lot of prospect evaluation from outside organizations. And then I think you have to look too, I mean, you're going to give more credit to a farm system that has players on the verge of making the major leagues that have proven more. I tend to look for balance. I mean, if you have, like, especially a pitching-heavy farm system, you know, just with the attrition rate of pitchers, you know all those guys aren't going to pan out. And, you know, my personal taste is you want, obviously, you know, in a perfect world, you'd have a bunch of future stars, and you'd also want to have a lot of depth. But if I had to pick one over the other or prioritize one over the other, I would take future stars, because I think you win with stars more so than you win by you know, having a bunch of average guys to plug a bunch of holes. So it's very subjective. Like I said, I mean, it's not easy, because you're basically looking at 200-something players. And, you know, even I think teams would tell you, like, the Brewers don't have a precise handle on all 200 guys in their farm system. But, yeah, that's how we go about it.
So right now, some of the top prospects in the Brewer system, you know, I look at a guy like Tyrone Taylor, who's out there. He's highly thought of by many. I look at Bryce Terang. He's highly thought of. I mean, a lot of the talent that they have that you can really say has been rated highly by Major League Baseball, a lot of it not necessarily is at the AAA level. I mean, you've got, you know, a starting pitcher like Zach Brown and Trey Supach, but a lot of these guys are in the minor leagues in the AA and single A, where they're trying to restock that farm system now too as well, correct?
Yeah, no, that's true. And, you know, and like I said, I mean, you know, you mentioned a guy like Tyrone Taylor, and he's interesting. He's also 26 years old. You know, most right. guys who are going to have a significant major league career aren't still prospects at age 26. I do like Bryce Strang a lot. He's our top-rated prospect, but there's some question as to how much impact he's going to have exactly with the bat. You know, Zach Brown's another guy like. He had a horrible year last year, so it's tough. You know, these guys are kind of up and down. I've always liked Corey Ray, and he just can't seem to really get going offensively like the Brewers expected when they made him the fifth overall pick. You know, I do like some guys in their system. You know, I think the strength of the system right now is left-handed pitching, and Ethan Small and Aaron Ashby and Antoine Kelly, they have three guys who missed a ton of bats in junior college or four-year colleges. You know, Ethan Small's got incredible metrics on his fastball. Aaron Ashby has just a dastardly curve. And Antoine Kelly is super raw but has a ton of upside. I mean, on his best days, he looks a little bit like David Price. And I'm not saying he's going to be David Price, but he does have that kind of upside. You know, Drew Rasmussen's a guy who was a former first-round pick who failed a physical, had a couple Tommy Johns, so the Brewers got in the sixth round, and his stuff came back. He was, you know, upper 90s with a slider in the low 90s at times last year. So it's just, you know, it's also kind of a, when you're ranking these farm systems, a snapshot in time, because guys don't develop in a linear path. There's ups and downs. So it's interesting and challenging to try to keep a handle on all that.
Jim, great stuff. Appreciate it. And we will talk again soon as we, you know, hopefully get baseball back in the field. And maybe we're talking about a couple of guys or pieces in the farm system that are either coming up or are going to be trade chips. But thanks for stopping by for a couple of minutes, okay?
Yeah, no, it was great talking to you. And hopefully we'll have some on-field action to discuss soon.
Absolutely. There you go. Jim Callis, senior writer for MLBPipeline.com. You can find him on Twitter at Jim Callis MLB, at Jim Callis MLB. He joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been doing it. So call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to SchneiderJobs.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.